prayer is Nixia Montero. Our speaker, Brother Skippy Norman, sermon title, What Are You Building Your Life On? That's coming from Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. Scripture reader, Hubal Freeman, presiding at the Lord's table, Wiley Edwards and Jerry White. Closing prayer, Greg Shriver. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Our kind, loving, and ever to be adored Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee. Father, we're thankful, Father, for this day, for this time You've given us to assemble for worship service. May Thy blessings, Father, be upon everyone who is here today, as well as those who had a sincere desire to be here but were unable. We pray, Father, that in this troubled world that You continue to watch over all of us. We pray for the lonely, the forsaken, the forgotten. We pray for those who are incarcerated at this time. We pray, Father, that even under these adverse conditions, they all will still have an opportunity to seek Your salvation. Be with us, Father, and if there's anyone present today who's never known or tasted Your goodness, that they will respond to heaven's invitation. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
If you would turn to Black Supplemental Books, page number four. Number four. Sing verses 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4.
As I'm journeying through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to a Christmas cross. Many arrows pierce my soul, from without within. But my Lord leads me on, through Him I must win. Still most in hope I want to see Him. Look upon His face, and there my Lord, there to see forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice and use in a praise. And I'm home at last, ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, the reading on high. But I'll see more close to Him, He will give me life. Satan's never left the soul. Turn my heart aside. But my Lord goes ahead and leads my heavy side. Him will sing what I want to see him. Look upon His face and hear my Lord there to sing forever. All His saving grace on the streets of glory. Let me lift my voice and You sing of praise. And I'm home at last, ever to rejoice. When before me there will rise from the mighty deep, there my Lord, I rest my heart, He a saving King. As He leads me gently on, through this world He walks. He's a real friend to me. and all my heart and soul. There will sing what I want to see again. The top is faith, and there, my Lord, there to sing forever. Oh, they say, King Grace, all the streets of glory. Let me lift my voice, and you sing now, praise, and from all that lasts and ever to rejoice, then we'll sing what I want to see here. Look upon his face, and there, my Lord, rest to sing forever. All this saving grace on the streets of glory. Let me lift my voice when you sing now, cares and I'm home at last and ever to rejoice.
If you would, now turn your hymn books to page 703. 703. After this song, we will go to God in prayer. We'll sing all three.
Troublesome times are here, ailing and heartless fear. Renouncing all those here, now there's a humbling your heart to God, save from the chasing cross. Seek the way pilgrims cross, which is the way. And Jesus is coming soon. Morning or night, trumpets will sound, and all of the dead shall rise. Righteousness tears the sky, always where gloom abides, everywhere of so many fools losing their holy hope. This ain't God's word, it's cold. He was alive. When these times come to pass, nearing the end at last, it will come every class. And Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will be there, prophets will sound, and all of the dead shall rise. Righteousness has going where no troubles will soon be gone, and be forevermore. When we meet on that shore, we will all care. Rising up in the sky, telling this world homeward we ever shall fly, glory to share. And Jesus is coming soon, morning for night, oh, you. Many will be there too, prophets will sound, and all of trumpet will sound. And full of the dead shall arise, righteous be dead as a oh, we will know
would you bow with me in prayer? Our almighty, our all-powerful, our all-knowing Father God in heaven, Lord, we once again bow before your mighty throne, Father. Bowed heads and humble hearts, Father. Lord, we're just thankful that you've blessed even each and every one of us here, Father, with another day of life, Father, and the health and strength and wherewithal, Father, on the first day of the new week, as we've been commanded, Lord, that we can rise up out of our beds, Lord, that we can openly assemble together, Father, and that we might worship you in spirit and in truth here this morning, Lord. Our Father, we pray that all of our acts of worship unto thee this morning, Father, would be conducted decent and in order, Father, that the songs that we sing would form a pleasing melody unto thine ear, Father, that the words of life that we read from your word this morning, Father, that they might bring us more knowledge, that they might enrich us, Father, might make us better Christians, Father, and ultimately draw us closer to thee, Lord. Our Father, we're so thankful for our congregation here, Lord, for the body of Christ that we have here at Cross Street, Father. We're so thankful for our elders, our deacon, our preacher, Father, our teachers, all those that work around here, Father, may or may not have a title, Lord, but we know that it takes all the members of the body to have one whole and functioning body, Lord. And we pray that our congregation here might be able to set the example for our community, Father, and bring more souls unto thy kingdom. Our Father, we're especially mindful of those who are dealing with sickness at this time. Father, we've got a lot of names that we've got listed on our prayer list, Father, a lot of names that were mentioned this morning, Lord. We pray that you continue to wrap your arms around each and every one of these individuals, Father, that you might bless them as they stand in need, Father, that you might, if it be thy will, grant unto them the things that they need to care or attention, and that they might be restored to a normal portion of health and strength, Father. Our Lord, we're also mindful of those who have recently lost loved ones, Father. We know that that's a very difficult time, Lord, and we know that all these folks can always seek comfort in your arms, Father, and we pray that you continue to bless them, Father, continue to help them through their time of grieving and sorrow, Father, and that you help remind them that you're always there for them, Lord. Father, at this time, we're also very thankful for all the many, many tremendous blessings of life that you've given each and every one of us, Father. They're too numerous to count, Father. They're like the grains of sand on the seashore, Father. But we know that all these things flow from thee. And we pray, Father, that we'd remember to constantly be grateful and thankful to thee for all of our blessings, Lord. And Father, we're most grateful and thankful, Father, for your grace and love, Father, the grace and love that sent your Son down upon this earth, Father, to live the perfect life he did, be the example that he did, and ultimately become that perfect Lamb of God, the one whose blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness, Father. And we pray, Lord, that as we go about our lives, that we'd constantly remember Christ Jesus, Father. Remember the ultimate price He paid for our sins, Lord. And we pray that as we go about our lives, Father, the things that we might say, the things that we do, that they'd always be a reflection of our thankfulness for Christ Jesus. Father, as we continue in our worship to Thee this morning, Father, we pray that You'd continue to bless each and every one of us that's here, Lord. We pray that You'd forgive us of our sins and shortcomings, Father, as we repent and turn away from those things and do our best to do them no more, Father. And we also pray, Lord, that if there be any of those that are here this morning that stand in need to respond to Thy invitation anyway, maybe to put on Christ or to be reunited if they've wandered away from home, Father, pray that You might bless them with the courage and strength to do so as Your mercy is extended to them one more time, Father. And we ask that You be with us, Father, and continue to bless us, guide us, and keep us, Father. And we ask these and all things, Lord, in the name of Thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Before we partake in the Lord's Supper this morning, please turn your hymnbooks to page 504. 504. Sing verses 1, 3, and 4. 1, 3, and 4.
When peace my love arises and when sorrows I see, yeah.
When we reflect upon the time of Jesus being falsely accused of blasphemy, when we reflect upon the fact that he was mocked, humiliated, scourged, and then ultimately he was crucified. The fact that he went willingly to that cross on our behalf shows the wonderful and tremendous love that he showed for us, that we as a people might be a redeemed people, sinless at that, washed by the blood that flowed from that cross. He's asked us to remember him on that day, each first day of the week. And as we do so, we are here to remember him and give thanks for all that he did for us. Let's bow in prayer and thank him for this. Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you have given to us. But most of all, Father, we thank you that your Son so willingly went to the cross on our behalf, showed so much love for your children. Father, we thank you that we are able to commune with you now, to remember him on that day. We thank you that he rose to new life on that third day. Father, all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us bow and give thanks for the cup. O kind and precious Father, we thank you for this privilege and this honor that we have to partake of this fruit of the vine that represents the precious blood of Christ Jesus that was shed on the cross of Calvary. His precious blood that cleanses our souls from all unrighteousness. Lord, in his name we give you all praise, honor, and glory. Amen. Thank you.
Has everyone had a chance to be served? I see no hands, so we will move on. We are also commanded to give back as we've been prospered. We give not from necessity, but we give as we would for our love for Jesus Christ. We are committed to seeing His kingdom grow. And in doing so with these monies, we're able to help expand His kingdom, to help with the congregation to be able to oversee its duties to the community and to the members. Let's bow in prayer and thank Him for our blessings. Father, we thank You that we're able to give back to You from our hearts. We ask that You open our hearts and our wallets to be able to show our love to You, for indeed You have indeed blessed us. Our cup overflows abundantly. Father, please watch over us as we give to You now, that we do it with a humble heart. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would, mark your hymnbooks to page 999. 999, that would be our song of encouragement this morning. And when we sing that song, we'll start with the chorus. After marking that, please turn to page 22. 22. Please mark it 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4.
There is beyond the ever blue. Thank you.
Morning. I just want to say it feels so good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. The scripture reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. I'll be reading from the King James translation. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, Brother Skippy.
Say good morning. Truly, God has once again been good to us. It's allowed us to be able to assemble ourselves together on this morning. It's good to see each and every one of you here this morning. And if you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guests, and we're just glad that you came to be a part of this service this morning. For those who are tuning in on our conference call, we welcome you at the services here. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. O wise, eternal Heavenly Father, Lord, we again thank you for this day and for your blessings, this opportunity that you've given us to once again assemble ourselves together on this morning. Thank you, Lord, for just being God all by yourself. Thank you, Lord, for just giving us this opportunity to come together this morning. And as we study your portion of your word, Lord, we just focus upon your word and what it has to say to us and the things that we are going through from day to day. Lord, at the conclusion of this message, there'll be things we've fallen short of. Give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Guide me in your word, the things that I say. Lord, you get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What are you building your life on? When you look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24 through 27, when you look at the context of this particular scripture, it starts out by saying in verse 24, therefore. Therefore requires that we know what the word is there for. These verses are a part of a teaching by Jesus, which we most often refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. And so it is important that to note that when Jesus begins this teaching, he is speaking to disciples. When you look at Matthew chapter 5, it's the beginning. In Matthew chapter 5, in verse 1 and verse 2, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and began to teach them. What did he teach? Well, he taught the parable of the wise and the foolish builders. That was part of the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount there in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. And as we reach the conclusion of this teaching, we find three parables that's dealing with two choices. We see in verse 13 and 14, the two gates, or the two destinies on, in other words, life or destruction. In verse 15 through verse 20, of chapter 7, there are two types of trees, those that bear good fruit and those that bear bad fruit. And then in our text, he talks about the two foundations. One is sound and one is weak. And all three representing the two possible outcomes to our lives. And so when we see the word therefore, it connects the preceding verses with what follows. But however, in this particular passage, in this foul therefore, Jesus is connecting everything that precedes it. This therefore is meant to summarize and teach a valuable lesson along with it. Notice what he says. He says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of thine and doeth them, or put it into practice. In this passage, Jesus is separating his listeners into two categories.
those who put his word into practice, and those who don't. And he provides an illustration for each scenario. When Jesus says these words, a man, he is involving the entirety of this sermon. He is tying it all together as he concludes with his final declaration. But then notice what he says. He says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him. And so in this parable, what Jesus is going to deal with is that Jesus talks about two kinds of builders in verse 24 and verse number 26. He talks about the wise builder, and he talks about the foolish builder. The two builders represent all people. The wise man heard the word of God and obeyed it. The foolish man heard the word of God but ignored it. Every one of us is building the house in which they live, consciously or unconsciously. But what distinguishes the builder is the foundation they choose to build on. On the outside, they look very similar. They had the same purpose. They were building a house. They also built their house in the same general geographical location. The storm Jesus spoke about hit both houses. So we must conclude that they were in the same general area. They also had the same basic plan. Every house basically consists of four walls, a floor, and a roof. And there are similarities today between the people who make up our congregations. We are all building on our spiritual houses. We all have the same amount of time in which to be. Every one of us have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We share similar duties on this time side of earth. Many of us are working during the day. Some are going to school. Some are raising a family. All of us are trying to pay our bills. We participate in some form of recreation now and then. But then there is a distinct difference between us as well. The difference can't be seen because it's underground. The difference is in our foundation. It all hinges on what we build our lives on. So what can we learn? What can we learn from these passages? Number one, we need to anchor the hope of your life on things that will last forever. You see, there's a song that we sing. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. But then it ends up by saying, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other grounds is sinking sand. in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 35, we see heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So you need to build your life on things that's going to last forever. But then secondly, you need to build your foundation on things that will never be shaken. When I act upon the word of God, Jesus says, I will be a wise person. When we put the word into practice, we are told we are building the foundation of our life on a rock. The rock is the teaching of the word of God. The Old Testament pictures God as a rock. And the New Testament, we are given another great truth, and that is Christ is our firm foundation. No other foundation will stand. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 11. This foundation is secure. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 9. You got to understand that a house is only as strong as its foundation. So why do you need to build your life on the foundation, on the rock? Because the world is not going to be easy. And we need a solid foundation to be able to hold up during the storms of life. But then thirdly, expect that the storms of life is unavoidable. Jesus continues with the story by saying that the rain failed, the rivers rose, and the winds blew, beat upon that house. See, in Israel, because of the hills and the mountains, it was common to endure such violent storms. The Jordan, the main stream, was annually swollen to a great extent because, and it became rapid and furious in its course. The other streams that were dry most of the year would become swollen with rain and pour water down into the plains below. Some of the poor would build houses in their unsafe areas. And as soon as the seasonal storms hit, they would lose their homes. And so the crowd knew exactly what Jesus was telling them. The reality is that nobody can go through life without storms. All of us in here, we have been through some storms. Maybe the storms are on the way, and maybe some of us are going through storms right now. But just know that storms are unavoidable. And so we find the house of the wise man stood firm in the storm. When the storms come, it is a time when the physical structure is tested to its limits. Likewise, the storms of life, it tests our spiritual structure and our foundation. But will it be able to stand? And so Jesus finishes this verse by saying that the house did not collapse. The house was great because it was founded upon a rock. Which brings me to number four, don't settle for anything less and temporary. What did Jesus mean here when he referred to this foundation as sand? Well, to understand the story, you have to know a little something about the geographic of Israel and a good portion of the Middle East. See, in the summer seasons, many rivers would dry up altogether, and they would leave a sandy bed that was empty of water. But just a few months later, when the rainy season hits, these rivers become raging torrents of water. And if you were not very familiar with the area, and if you didn't check the ground carefully, then you could build a house directly in the path of rushing rivers during the rainy season. So the obvious question here is, why would somebody want to build their house on this kind of foundation? Well, it's cause for a bit of speculation. And I believe that it could be that they didn't want to dig down deep enough to know the structure of the house was secure. Listen to me. It was an easier and a cheaper way to do it. I believe this problem is still in the church. People are looking for an easy way, a lazy way to serve God. And I believe this morning that this pandemic has given a lot of Christians an easy way out. Some was already on the verge of slipping back before the pandemic. But now the pandemic has come. It gave them an excuse of quit coming to service, but still go everywhere else they want to go. And so we got to understand this, that many are building their house on the sand. Notice, the foolish man, he heard the word of God, but he ignored it. And there are many today who have heard the word of God, but yet choose to build their lives in a different foundation. And it's a sad situation for a child of God to have known God and go back into the world. I believe Peter has something to say in 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning there with verse number 20. Notice what he says. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein, overcome the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Now notice what he says. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn away from the holy commandments delivered unto them. But notice what he says. It's no surprise. It happened unto them according to the true barber. Now notice how he describes this. He describes it as a dog who turned to his own vomit again. And the sow that was washing to go right back into that mud again. That's a sad situation. That many folk who was excited in the beginning, excited about the word, obeyed God. But now they are back out into the world. God is not important to them anymore. The same God that woke them up every morning is the same God that can take their life away. Make sure that you're building on the right foundation. There are many choices for life's foundations. Some choose to build on wealth. Some choose to build on pleasure. Some choose to build on the praises of people. What are you building your life on this morning? Will your life hold up when the storms come? For our lives to hold up together. When the storms of life come, we have to have strength from the firm foundation of Jesus Christ. When I build my life on the word of, if I build my life on the words of men versus the word of God, then my life will not be able to withstand the storms of life. Most people do not deliberately seek to build on false or inferior foundations, but instead they just do not consider the life's purpose. Many lives end up in ruins, not because of outright rebellion, but rather because of a lack of thought, a lack of planning, and a lack of prayer. God is not obligated to remove all the storms of life. But if he is the foundation, I want you to know that he will give us the strength to withstand the storms. Listen, church, sometimes the only way we can grow to become like Christ is by going through some storms. And so when you go through the storms, what we have built on Jesus Christ will remain solid. We remain true. And when the storms are done, we will be tested. We may be shaken to the very depths of our soul. But through Jesus Christ, we will come out victorious. But then finally, I suggest to you, cling on the promises of God. Cling on his love. Even when you're going through the darkest times of your life. In the story Jesus shared at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, we notice that both builders had much in common. Both built homes. Both saw immediate success. Both had similar goals and desires. Both face storms. But the difference between the two was their foundation. One was built on the sand, and with the sand as the foundation, there was no internal substance to support the superstructure. But one was built on a rock. And this foundation provided internal reality to support the external structure. So the difference may not have been immediately visible to people if they did not observe the building process. The difference was revealed in the storms. This life provides plenty of storms and tests of our faith. May I ask you, where are you in the journey? Are you building your life upon the solid foundation of Jesus? Or are you building your life upon the sinking sand of this life? Only that which is built upon Christ is going to last. If you've not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, I suggest to you to build upon that rock. And Jesus is the rock. Set upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You've heard the word. Believe it to be true. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ. And be baptized. Maybe you're a Christian. The question I suggest to you to think about: are you fully trusting in the Lord? Are you completely committed to following the Lord, hearing and heeding to His word? See, partial obedience is never enough. God wants total commitment. And anything less than full surrender is in fact rebellion. If our faith is grounded below the baseline in the bedrock of Jesus Christ, our life will be proven to withstand the toughest of situations. Everything, church, depends on our foundation. Either you're building your life on Jesus, or you're not building your life on Jesus. There is no middle ground. And if you wish to stand the storms that's going on in your life, then you will hear Him. You will obey Him. But if not, then you're going to experience destruction in your life. Why not seek the Lord this morning? Seek Him that He can strengthen you in your walk. Don't let anything separate you from the love of Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 35-39. Y'all, we can make it. You can make it through life's toughest seasons if you focus on Jesus as your foundation. So who are you this morning? Are you the wise builder, or are you the foolish builder? You know it, and God knows it.
And that's who you're going to have to answer to one day. Let us stand.
And my God is real. He's real in my soul. And my God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me, his life pure full. And my God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Some things I may not know. There are some things that I can't know. But I am sure, of this one thing. God is real, for I can feel him, he lives in. And my God is real, he's real in my soul. And my God is real, for he has washed and bathed me whole. His love for me, his life here for. And my God is real, for I can hear him in my soul. Some folks may die, some folks may soar.
My God is real, for I can feel
benefit my soul. Don't you know God is great? He's filling my soul. And my God is real, for he has once and been before. His love for me, his life here for. And my God is real.